This reading, Falling into the Sky by David Brinden, is based on a poem by Zen monk Musō Soseki. Years and ways. I dug and dug deeper into the earth, looking for blue heaven, choking always on piles of dust rising. Then once at midnight, I slipped and fell into the sky. Okay, honey, it's time to go to sleep. We're going to turn off the light now, my mom would say. I was around 4 years old when my parents turned off the light and left me alone in bed. It was difficult. The night light saved me from panic, but not anxiety. I was very afraid of the dark. What was out there? And heaven forbid that I had to go to the bathroom, I did everything possible to hold it. What do you remember about your relationship to the dark when you were a young child? Even for adults, it seems that much of culture and religion work to hold off darkness, physical darkness, but emotional and spiritual as well. Think of it almost as an entrenchment of an overly simplistic Halloween theology. In her book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "Just say the word dark, and the associations begin to flow. Nightmare, ghost, graveyard bat, vampire, death, devil, evil, criminal, danger, doubt, loss, depression, fear." And maybe fear is the main thing in this overly simplistic way of thinking. And it plays in because the reality is, at some point or another, most of us simply do not want to be afraid. And that's partly how we get tricked by immature spirituality. Tricks us into thinking if we just leave the lights on, we won't be afraid. Bad things won't happen. Mom, leave the lights on, please. But we know from our own experience that leaving the lights on all the time can do more harm than good. First of all, it creates a big electricity bill unless you have a really green energy plan. It's bad for Mother Earth. And leaving the lights on for 24 hours a day is one way to torture or break a prisoner. We are part of the cycles of sun and moon, and we need to be in the dark. Thankfully, my relationship with the dark has evolved past that time at 4, although I'm still working on it. But it was a few years later when on most nights my dad called from the porch, "Okay, Kent, time to come in. It's really getting dark now." And usually I was with a group of kids playing in the back alley. My dad was a hero because he had found a way to mount a basketball hoop onto the roof of the garage, and it didn't crush the gutter. And pretty much all year round, including we would shovel the snow to clear the court, we shot hoops late into the night out back. And my parents called me in when it was dark. Now, of course, dark is subjective. So with an alley light near the garage, it really never got too dark to play basketball. But at some point during the graying hues of dusk, my parents called it, time to come in, it is time. And I often, you know, try to persuade them to get another 15-minute segment. Once I got older, after dinner, I was allowed to go back outside to shoot a little more in the dark. And not only did I feel like a big guy, but I also relished playing in the various shades of darkness. So if we were playing 2-on-2 in the dark, we'd try to pass within distances where you wouldn't, you know, pop the other person in the nose or jam somebody's finger. And I still remember this, finding a way to see the basket just well enough to shoot and sort of seeing the ball disappear as it went farther and farther away from off my fingers and clank off the rim. No, just kidding. I say I can rebound and play defense. I cannot shoot. There's a mystery to how we as humans relate to the darkness. On the one hand, we often need light to gather, prepare food, work, play. But on the other hand, every evening the sun goes down and we're in the dusk and then in the dark. What happens? How is it when rather than opposing the rhythm, we embrace the rhythm? I think many of our own experiences tell us that in darkness, we can experience and learn things that we cannot in the light. So we're in this season of the longest nights. Tonight it will be dark from approximately 4:36 p.m. until 7:03 a.m. So I think it's a good time to pause and reflect. How is your relationship with the dark? Can you explore? Connect? Can you relax and rest? Can darkness be a time of more robust imagination or creativity? Can you more intentionally be with your dreams? Ryan works with people in dreams, and he invites folks before you're sleeping, intentionally think, I'm going to work to remember my dreams. And when you wake up, try and focus right away. What were my dreams? A lot of times right now this season, that's all in the dark when it's outside, dark. Of course, we can't be naive or offensive and say that night is just a time for peaceful dreaming and rest. So much of what one experiences and associates with darkness is contextual. You may live in a neighborhood where it is not safe after dark, and dark may thus bring anxiety. As a city guy, I still get nervous at times out in rural areas after dark because I say, who hears you if you're yelling and getting mugged out here in the middle of nowhere? You know. But I have rural friends who say they get nervous in the city after dark. I just spent time with refugees, some of whom walked days and weeks guided by the cycles of moon and sun through everything, including deserts. Sun up, when you're on the move, is a time to move out. When you're coming north, the sun's on the west, so you pretty much, it sets your direction for the day. It's a coordinate. Noon can be a bit challenging because coordinates become questionable. You're not sure exactly when noon is, the lower sun in this season. However, dusk can really become a time when the line of the walk can really get into question. Dark brings a true scare when you're a refugee. And right now in our Our U.S. neighbor city, Tijuana, there are thousands of refugees without enough food, water, clothing, bathrooms, or shelter, and darkness is not a time of rest and relaxation. Anxiety probably goes up for a lot of folks. Desperation is high in the community. And we also need to wrestle for as long as anybody here is going to be alive with the ambivalent and paradoxical metaphors of darkness. There are valuable metaphors for darkness, and there are ones that cause pain and suffering. Unhealthy or unexamined faith reinforces myths such as living a blissful happiness life 24 hours a day is desirable or possible. Unhealthy or unexamined faith reinforces harmful life-sucking myths such as light skin is better than dark skin. So we're called to wrestle with those, but some symbols are good and helpful, and we can reclaim them. As people of faith and goodwill, we're called to work and sacrifice to make a world where all people are safe and have their needs met day and night. And we want a world where we all have the choice, the opportunity to retire by candlelight or no light and have a time of rest and reflection in the dark. We want a world where folks might be able to take some time under the stars and just breathe. One thing, if you can, park your car near the Wissahickon sometime, get away from the streetlights, and just walk in a little bit and look up, or just look around in a way you don't twist your ankle or something, but it's beautiful, I think. Looking around at the horizon line at dusk, or the ground or the trees, reminds us that we are the stuff of stars. It's also true that these helpful metaphors of darkness can resonate in our natural cycles. Being melancholy, I think that's a valuable metaphor for darkness, symbol. Melancholy can allow the soul to express itself in important and telling ways otherwise unavailable in lighter moods. Barbara Brown Taylor says that she herself has experiences with melancholy, might be known as darkness. She has experienced fear of the unknown, familiarity with divine absence, mistrust of conventional wisdom. She says she herself has known darkness such as suspicion of religious comforters, keen awareness of the limits of all language about God, and at the same time shame over her inability to speak of God without thousands of qualifiers. She's known doubt about the health of her soul and barely suppressed contempt for those who have no such qualms. I can identify with all those forms of darkness. How about you? We can be in the dark. Just be. Accept what we don't control. Maybe try and work to change what we can. Pray for the wisdom to know the difference. We can go out and look at the stars for a while, but also we can go out and just look for darkness. This winter you can go out. I do not know if there are any owls in these Wissahickon woods. Somebody tell me if you know. There are. Jerry saying yes. Okay, go owling. All right, I'm getting a lot of yeses. I like this. But you could go out, and whether you get an owl to hoot or not, you can have an experience. To go into the dark with a light is to find light. To most fully know the dark in ourselves, at times we have to just go dark. May this be a place of being with and for one another in the dark. Blessings be.